Welcome, one and all, to Dohio Download. It's me, Kaitetsu speaking, and I am joined today with Tamano Sato.
Hello.
As usual, the two of us. Nobody else has come to grace us with their presence. And as last week was already impromptu news and curiosities, there's even less stuff to talk about now because we used up all of the stuff last week. So it would be a chill, nice episode just talking sumo, I guess. How did you see anything mildly interesting, Tama? Because that's how we're getting right now, like bottom of the barrel, mildly interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely zero thing.
Great, awesome.
I mean, there was that Chris Sumo video that popped up, I think, today.
Which one?
And basically, they can, it was a bit of a if video.
Oh, the if video. Yes. I saw that as well.
And a lot of cool thing can
Can.
happen,
Exactly.
might
Might.
happen when the Banzuke drop and when the Basho gets underway. We can lose. Wait, where is from? I think it's Aomori
Aomori,
Prefecture.
yes.
Got like a 50 years reign at the top. At the top of Makuchi, in Makuchi, always had an Aomori wrestler, and depending off on if Nishiki Fuji falls, they might lose that. Same for Kasugano, who had
Yeah.
like a 94 years. They
Wow.
always had a salaried wrestler, and Taikai, since he missed and he went Kyujo.
He got hurt, unfortunately.
Sadly for him, he
Like
did not finish
messed up
that
his
fight.
leg slash knee, something like that. I don't remember. I
I
know we
do
talked
not
about it,
think.
but I don't remember what it
I think
was.
it was his leg, yeah. But yeah, he might lose junior ranking, so they
It's a
will lose
toss-up
that.
between Kazekeno and Tochitaka. We know it's not two of them because Himokamaru didn't come up as well, or Shimazumi. Or Okari, one of those. It was the whole talk that we were having. Since it was
Okari did not come up. It was Shimazumi,
Himokamaru.
Seihakuho, no?
Yeah, it was
No.
between Himokamaru, Toshinofuji, which is Seihakuho,
Toshinofuji,
Fukuzaki, and maybe Taka Kenta, but it was like cutting around Shimazumi as well, like those five. And since it was only two, Toshinofuji and Fukuzaki, one of them in Tochitakai or Kazekeno stays. And I think Chris mentioned that the guy who completes the tournament is looked more favorably. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
We'll see.
We'll see. We will see.
But yeah, I think this Banzuke will be really fun to look at.
Yes.
We will just have to see. Wait and see.
Yeah, and then May, well, end of March, we'll have a lot to unravel, I'm sure, one
Oh,
way or
yeah.
another. One way or another.
Yeah.
Because apparently, let me see here. Yeah, so Osaka has been a good place for Onosato, so.
Yeah, he won last time,
He
if I'm
won last time,
yeah.
and 2 years ago he gotten his first Jun Yusho and two special prizes. A Fusen helped him to 11-4, but he did that. So who knows? Who knows what's going on? Because if Aonishi gets three straight cups,
Hello.
Hello, Yuki.
Yoshima.
We're just starting the episode with nothing much. We're just
Yeah.
literally talking about anything. I haven't yet revealed what my show and tell for today is. since we don't have much to talk about. But anyway, I think it was said by someone that if Aonishiki wins the Yusho, it would be the first time since Futaba Yama that a non-Yokozuna wins three straight Yusho. I believe that was the
thing. Would be insane.
That would be so cool. That would be really, really cool.
But I don't want to jinx it, but I don't think it will happen.
It is very, very hard, and I am not counting on that.
Yeah, like it would be insane.
It would be. Usually, I would say it probably won't happen, but as I said before, his run so far and in the top division has literally been perfect. So, and it just seems like faith at this point. Like I said, like in January, if he happens to win the Yusho again in January, then I think he'll just become Yokozuna after March.
To be fair, at every stage that he went a nudge up, we've been like, okay, he's gonna stop there.
Exactly. And he hasn't. And that is insane. Like, by
I
the
feel
way,
like he listens to us and just wants to prove us wrong. Oh
my God. Okay, so I'm looking
stop him really though as well. Sorry, not to interrupt, but sorry, like who can really stop him realistically if Onosato is still injured?
Nobody. As we have seen repeatedly.
Yeah, I mean, if Yoshi wasn't at like the toughest rank, maybe.
Yeah, because I don't think Yoshi will have the best match of his life. Like he has had that little like dip and then come back. You know, he didn't do very great and then he did okay again, 8-7.
Like I feel like he's just gonna be like a stone in the shoe of Aonishiki.
Maybe even that's his number.
Yeah, even if he doesn't do well, he's just gonna do well enough to just be a pain in the ass and kind of block, you know.
But again, last time Onishiki did beat him, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
First time.
First time, yes. First time of four, but shows improvement. Anyway, I was looking into what I just said, like the three consecutive Yusho by non-Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Futaba Yama's is, The what I'm seeing here on SumoDB is he got a Yusho in May, Yusho in January because it was only 2 a year, then again in May, again in January, now his first Yusho as Yokozuna, and then again in May. So like he had five straight Yusho.
Oh my God.
Back then, and then he took one basho, he didn't win it, and then two again, didn't win it, and then win, not win, and win. Like this guy is insane. Futaba Yama is. I think it would have been unreal to see in like six tournament.
Yeah.
But like they did really have an advantage of only two tournaments a year. That was really a big advantage.
Yeah.
It makes his records as well, like all 11 plus Bashos so far that he could beat with Terakuni even more impressive since Terakuni got more rest.
Exactly, yeah. Which Terakuni, at least of his time, he was so big.
Yeah.
Big man for the time.
Yeah, which is why he actually, like, similar to others, he's really an underappreciated, I think, Yokozuna.
I think
like,
so,
his
yeah.
His rise was insane. He was just really unlucky not to win any Yushos with his records and with Biden in the same era as Futaba Yama. And then it was then World War II, which dropped his weight and muscle mass, which is why he was then doing poorly for a while and then getting injuries, which is why then it. The fact that he even like stayed as a Yokozuna for like 8 or 10 years to then battle it out and then win those at least two Yushos is and a 15-0 is really impressive.
No, yeah, he is great. I do think he's very much underappreciated.
And he's adorable.
He is Look adorable. He is. I think he's quite attractive. I think he's quite nice.
Yeah, there was
He looks like one of those like proper prints, you know, of the time, the ukiyo-e prints. It just looks like one of those. It's great.
There was a on the Neko no Yama's YouTube channel, a documentary about him with English subtitles.
Oh,
yeah, you should
have. I didn't know. I didn't know Neko had a
I don't know if it's our Nekonoyama, but there's
somebody called Nekonoyama, which is, to be fair, a very big name.
Like they have like 9 videos, and they are like mini documentaries, and they're just great. Mm-hmm. I can send you the link if you want.
I got Nekonoyama. Here we go.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, Futabayama story. Yeah. Well, Akiseyama usual interview of Junokuchi from 2008. Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Wakashimazu.
The Tamanishiki video is also very good.
Oh.
And the Wakashimazu.
I mean, I do like Wakashimazu. I think he was a great.
He was good, but I liked him, but it was just like so much good thing at that time, you know, the Kitamune.
Yeah. I'm not saying. That he was deserving of Yokozuna. I just think he was a good Ozeki, and he was pretty entertaining.
He was really good at what at that level.
Exactly.
What he was doing, yeah, just
which is like, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another Yokozuna. I don't want to like go off topic here. Like,
there's no topic. You can go off of whatever. There is no topic.
Sounds good. I mean, I will return to him though, because I do have something else to say about that. But just to bring up this quickly, another Yokozuna that's definitely like underappreciated in olden days is I don't know how to pronounce it properly. Hagoroyama.
Hagoroyama. Yes.
Yeah, he won 7 U shows, but he was in like a stable with another Yokozuna.
He was Futabayama's stable mate.
Yeah,
which is like, imagine that practice session. Crazy.
And made him very underappreciated, but he like had so many like undefeated U shows in a 15-0-1, and he fought for a good while, and he had many close like runner ups at 14-1. Like, he was very impressive. But the other thing I would like to bring up there though is that there's a lot of people who brought up like this record that won Rikishi has of like the most U shows in any level from debut in a row, who has like, he won like, I believe, 2 Makushita U shows and like a Jirio one for like 3 in a row or 4 in a row. But
whoa,
Hagoroyama though, when you look at his profile, he won a Division 6, 5, 4, 3, and 2 U show or in a row in 5 tournaments up to then Division 1.
Wow.
But they don't count him for some reason. And I don't know why, but I see in after Mizumo, he did something called Shinjo, which he then went 2-1.
Yeah,
so like, what is that? And is that why they don't count him for the record?
I think it might be. It was, I think, fuck, I've read something about Shinjo.
I have the description here.
Please,
it's
go
on. It's a designation given to wrestler who had performed well in Mizumo that allowed them to proceed. Participate in Junokuchi in the same tournament. So it was in the same. It was two different things, but it's in the same tournament.
But
actually,
it says it was Maizumo in January. Well, Sumo DB says, which could be wrong.
Yeah, I think they just logged it like that to make space. Additionally, if they performed well at this stage, they were allowed to skip straight to the Jonidan rank in the next tournament.
I see. Yeah, he started right at Junokuchi 1, which is kind of high in the division, especially at the time.
Yeah,
must be why, or like he just breaks something. But yeah, he did get get 5
so basically
consecutive.
He was fighting so well in Mizumo, they made him fight 3 bouts in Junokuchi at the same time.
Yeah,
in the same basho, and then he went to win every cup for like five tournaments in a row. And then one in Makushita. Like, what the fuck?
Whoa, Makushita had 11 days back then. Look at that.
Damn. Just damn.
Damn. What a guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, just crazy, crazy career. And yeah.
Well, go on. We have.
I was just going to say, some of those Yokozuna are, you know, underrated, but you're like, they made it to Yokozuna.
They made it to Yokozuna.
To prove something.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, at some point, somebody thought they were, you know, deserving, you know, which is something.
Yeah. I mean, there's really, you know, there's a few Rikishi's, you could say, probably deserve Yokozuna in history, but I wouldn't say there's any that wasn't deserving of it, even if they didn't live up to it afterwards. Like, I would even say, with the performances he put on, actually, when you look at it, and his age, that Koji Kitao even did. It's just he was kicked out of it, you know, with his attitude before he could get the chance to actually win you. Shows like he definitely would have won at least a few if that didn't happen. And then it was later revealed that it was kind of a lie that got him kicked out. So he was kind of screwed over a bit, even if he did have a bit of an attitude. And I also
mean, Futahaguro.
I think that guy's a bit I think he's a bit he's a bit misunderstood, I think, honestly, because that environment, and also the environment he went in pro wrestling, like, it can be really harsh on you, like, mentally and how you act, which it definitely was on him. And I think, like, he probably just was battling demons, and, you know, after, like, a few years in pro wrestling, then he eventually, you know, like, matured and was, like, really, and he kind of redeemed himself in that, and sumo, because, you know, when he was, like, not doing sumo or pro wrestling, the people, like, said he was, like, an angel. He was, like, perfect and mature and everything. So I think, like, just those cultures kind of messed with him a bit, I think.
Yeah. Interesting.
Also, talking about Koji Kitao, Futahaguro, one man that Futahaguro lost a title to, former Takano Fuji, passed away.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
That is
true. February 8th, so we kind of missed it. Not that. But
I think the news didn't come until later, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I learned about it today. And he got two Kimboshi against Futahaguro, and he defeated Futahaguro to win his only Yusho. Oh, no, not his only Yusho. No. He did not.
Sancho, special prize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so RIP.
RIP to Eiko Musubi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm glad we still have a good amount of guys right now in like their 80s, though. Like, I'm honestly surprised that like Abama or others haven't like tried doing anything with guys like Takamiyama while they're still here.
Yeah, well, I guess Takamiyama is just really, really old. Like, yeah. I do think he walks on two supports as well, which not very mobile friendly. Like, Wakanohana is just so young still, which is why it's helpful. And they have, the coaches going anywhere, so, like...
Yeah. And I'm not sure, like, GSC can really move that much, you know? Travel.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still in Japan. He might...
He still is in Japan, normally when he appears.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I mainly mean as, like, an interviewer on that, you know, channel.
No, yeah, totally.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
And also, you can't really... like understand him to be
yeah
fair.
His voice is really
I guess it's a mix of getting hit for decades and maybe smoking.
I think he's a smoker.
It was mainly he was hit. Yeah, he was hit and his vocal cords got messed up, and the surgeon I believe said they could try to fix it, but I think he said like his voice became so iconic, you know, he was cool with keeping it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm like, dude, like, you're the same age as my grandma.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's really old.
Yeah, he's 81.
81, wow.
Gonna turn 82 this year. Like,
in June. Yeah, in June.
Yeah, I mean, he weighed, like, 480 in his career, but, I mean, as I said, though, like, a lot of... Hawaiians and Samoans, people like him, and like even wrestlers like Abdullah the Butcher who are like still alive at like 84, they have that genes, you know, where they're just naturally a bit bigger, so you know they live older still,
which is insane.
It is really cool. I was really sad when Kitano Fuji passed away, like one of the longest living Yokozuna, like around he passed away at 82, I believe, a few years ago.
Yeah,
that was really sad.
Yeah, and there was that one, I believe, I forgot his name. He was like the thinnest Yokozuna in history, won like three Yu shows. I think he lived a while. He was born in like the 1930s and I think he only passed away around like 20.
Nishinomi, one of them?
Yeah, like, let me look at it.
Yeah, quickly. Look at it. Because, yeah, I remember reading something like the longest living Yokozuna is like, was like 83 when he passed away.
So yeah. It was
Wakanohana the first, maybe. I'm trying to think, thin guys.
Oh, was I mean... a Tosh. I believe it was Toshinoumi.
Ah, Toshinoumi. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Yeah,
There's a bunch. That's a bunch of like Yokozuna and stuff that lived to like 80. Kagami Sato lived until he was 80.
Crazy for his size as well.
Yeah. Man, Mienomi is old.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Mienomi is 81. 81.
Wow, that's cool.
And he was featured in one of the Sumo Salon.
Yeah, video. I saw that. It was like how to defeat the Futabayama stable because it was so strong. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. It was really cool. It was an amazing interview.
The rivalries.
Yes, the rivalries episode. You're right.
Old man's still looking good.
He's still looking good. He doesn't look like very crippled.
Yeah. And
it's very good.
Which is something that got me, you know, like we lost Chiyono Fuji and like so many guys, like Takano Sato, Futahaguro of the same era.
Yeah.
And we still have Onokuni, who was the heaviest.
That is
like,
true.
He was like a 440 pound man. 450 man, even. Yeah, 448 at his peak. And he is still around.
He is still around.
No, just. I mean, you know, love him or hate him. I kind of liked him as a wrestler, you know, as an Oyakata. Meh.
I don't really like him as an Oyakata. I don't think he adds anything to the association. He's still like the number two, but like, what? He's just there. I don't know.
But he's making cakes.
He's making cakes, which is kind of cute. It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I have to admit, it is very cute.
As an Oyakata, he's like old school. But as a wrestler, I kind of liked him. He was good.
I see.
But yeah, anyway, he's still like the one, like 63 when you see him walk around. He looks like he's 160.
Wow.
But sorry, that was tough. But yeah, still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's others that I just don't think they have really verified who, like, I know there was some that said they lived up to like 88, but I think they actually passed away like at 84. They just, some sites don't verify. Like, it's tough some of them. Like, there was this one guy who I searched up a while ago because I was using SumoDB and I was curious what like the highest rank Maegashira ranks were in history. And there was this one guy who was at like Maegashira 23, which was like the highest ever, and he was the only one out of them who ever got a winning record at it, which I'll send the link here. So I was curious, and yeah, I doubt he's actually like still alive at 96, but they can't verify. All
yeah, like
known is that he like
especially on the wiki, saying as a somehow someone who does the wiki a lot. If there's not on the news, we won't do anything. Like there's some of like from the Edo period, which we put like date of death unknown, because like. Yeah, obviously a guy from the Edo period won't still be around. But with these guys, it's like it's still plausible, especially in Japan. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, that's why like I'm wondering if like I've been trying to like records or places like in their areas to contact just to see like this was the last known thing that's known about him. So
yeah,
I'm trying to do that, but I haven't had any luck yet.
Yeah, and you see that guy Koinose. He also did Shinjo that we just discovered.
Oh, yeah, there's Shinjo there. Yeah,
Shinjo 3-0.
I guess, I think maybe you needed 3-0 to go to Joniden, because he goes straight to Joniden. He never did.
Yeah.
Never did Jonguchi.
So that's something that existed.
The kanji for Shinjo is literally Shin, which is new, and then the Jo is the same Jo as in Joniden.
Oh.
Yeah, so new Jo.
Straight to the Jo.
Yeah, straight to the Jo, exactly.
But yeah,
Anyway, let me do my show and tell, and I think people will be very excited about this. Let me just get a movable camera that I can. I'm gonna turn on the camera for this because it's very exciting. Because it's something to look at. It's very cool.
Show us.
So let me tell the story of how I got this. So I saw one day on Reddit. Yes, I know. Like, what a place to see things. But I saw somebody talking about this book they had gotten called Sumo and Design. And it's really great. Let me... Yeah, okay. Camera, let's go. Oh, yeah.
Ooh!
Look at this. So it's a design. It's a sumo design, right? Which is like,
nice.
Interesting. But when you start reading about it, it's all about Kesho Mawashi.
Oh.
It's all about the apers, and it shows the designs, and it explains the sets. I know it's reversed. For some reason, it is reversed in the image. But it goes into, like, where is it? There's, like, one of the people who make it.
Oh, that is
so
cool.
They go to the, like, the structure.
Oh, my God, it's huge.
It is. It's 6-7 meters. Explains the parts of a Kesho Mawashi. They have explanations of, like, some of the popular designs. Takeru Fuji's on it, like, thrice for some reason.
It's not that old then. It's not old.
No, it's very, very, very recent. There's like
oh.
this, like the because Takakesho has had this one. And, like, it shows like the drafts of them, of the machinery one. Here, like, they show how they make it on the by
the
these artisans. So, like, you have
yeah.
here like some Teru no Fuji ones. Here they go to a Kesho Mawashi place. It's a traditional dress store in Kyoto, this one. I think there are a few. And here they show how it's made. And there's a little interview on the side, which the English one, there is English. It's just at the end. So it shows where it folds. It shows how they tie it all together on the back. It's just a really exciting thing. It's like, so cool. I know that
yeah.
the cable is in the middle. Thankfully, we're not recording the video.
It's okay.
But yeah, so here's all the interview with Hasegawa Shoten, which is the name of the store. And then you have like the types of colors. Basically, every single Kesho Mawashi is its own color because they dye it once. They dye it at once. So it's impossible to replicate a color when you're doing it manually, obviously. So kind of like every Kesho Mawashi is his own color. And they go over through like also Yokozuna sets and also historical sets, which is very cool.
Hey.
There was one, this one. Oh, this one's gorgeous. This is a sketch. It's not a
oh.
real one. This is on paper. With
oh,
like
yeah.
Higanbana, the pine, and the peacock. However, it says like it's a mystery because there was this, they found this sketch for a Yokozuna set. But it was
Ooh.
Never made, so nobody knows who it was for. So, like, if I ever get to Yokozuna in RTY, I'm definitely using this as, like, my Yokozuna
no.
set. Because, like, it's beautiful. The colors are
yeah.
gorgeous in this one.
It
the peacock in the middle for the Yokozuna is such a good idea. I don't know how nobody has done it before.
I love the tree. The tree looks
yeah.
great.
Like, there's these ones. These are sketches, so you can see, like, the ink. That was
yeah.
it was really expensive, this book. This book has 208 pages, and it was all printed in color and very high quality. However,
oh.
it was really expensive. Let me show...
Send the link still.
There is on Amazon. If you look Sumo and Design on Amazon...
Oh, I have to...
I bought it there.
You're making me buy things. Fuck you.
See, they were very low stock. Have a look.
Oh, it looks great.
It was an impulse. It was an impulse buy. It was 110 British
no.
pounds, I believe.
No, it was a great buy.
It was a great
was
purchase. Yeah, sure.
It was not
an
impulse. It was needed.
Yeah. It's research. It's research. Anyway, but there's these for example, these
yeah.
are the like other designs for a wrestler who then picked this one, for
oh.
example. So they show like a few of the like choices
oh,
and whatever.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's not cheap. Okay.
No, it's not cheap. They go over the history of Kishimawashi as well. So here you can see like the progression from oldest to now, you know, the difference.
Does it show like the Mawashis that they like wrestled in?
Yeah.
There's like the same sort of things.
This one from a wrestler called Todagawa is the oldest surviving Kishimawashi that there is on any collection.
And to be fair, it's washed up, but it still looks...
It looks gorgeous. Look at these butterflies close-ups.
Look at the
thread work. Like, it's not focusing very well, but it's like all woven like horizontally.
It's perfect. Oh my god!
Oh look at it. You see that?
Oh.
It's beautiful. It's
beautiful.
From the wrestler. The wrestler passed away in 1773. So this is obviously older than that. From the 1700s.
That's over 300?
Years old, I believe, yes.
Oh my lord. Imagine it when it was...
It was very much thinner. You can see how thin it is compared to modern ones, but it's so good.
Imagine the colors and shit.
This one is from the old Yokozuna Inazuma.
Oh, that guy.
That's his, literally. But like, yeah, you know, the design of the lining and stuff. This is one of Raiden's, the legendary Ozaki.
Oh, sir!
Whoa!
Oh my god, that is.
It's a. I don't know what the pattern is, but it is gorgeous. So like
So that's like from the
and apparently it says here that Raiden, despite being huge, he was very highly educated. He wrote a journal of sumo in the various regions, and he had like Raiden diaries, which like I so want to read that. I don't know if it exists anywhere, but I so want to read that.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, it's incredible that we have stuff that far back, like Raiden.
It's amazing. Like, it's so gorgeous. So different designs from nowadays, anyway. Like this two different pattern is so different. Look at this set from Hitachiyama, among the legendary Yokozuna. It has a diamond in the center.
Oh my
god. And pearls, pearls.
It looked like pearls.
Yeah, so the one in the middle is it's a 3-carat diamond. Mm-hmm. And the other ones have rubies in the center. And obviously all of them have pearls.
Crazy.
Watch other crazy ones. This was my last page that I read. This one from Otori, which is the Clash of the Dragon and the Tiger. You can see the eyes. The eyes are some different material. Let me see if you focus. Like it's a different material that's not thread. I don't know what it is. It doesn't explain what it is, but it's so different.
Yeah.
There was one earlier. In the book, which was like auspicious plants in a Yokozuna set. Let me try and find it. And it explains it a little bit. I will find it, hopefully.
Damn.
But yes, you that you're hearing this and you wish you were seeing this book, too bad. Get here and watch the episode live.
Yeah.
It's at 7 p.m. British time, we start. I don't know other times in the world.
It's 8 p.m. in France.
8 p.m. in France. So, yeah, there you go. So, this set, which was his Ozaki one, I don't know if it was Ozaki one, and then they added the tiger and the dragon. And here, they explained that first it was Mount Fuji and the pine tree. Then they decided to add the dragon with plum tree. And the tiger with bamboo, which is three auspicious Japanese trees. So peach,
so cool.
Pine, and bamboo. So it's just an amazing book. They do some, there's some little mistakes, like calling a wrestler, they called Daisho Nishinoryu in one picture earlier. It was like they were explaining like, oh, schools and universities give them Kensho Mawashi, and it was like a Daisho with a Saitama Sakai, which like is the like same school but wrong wrestler, you know, but it works. This one from Chiyo Noyama is so gorgeous as well. I love this one.
Oh yeah.
This is the 36 views on Mount Fuji, and it's like the wave for the Yokozuna. It's crazy. It's I know there's glare on the picture, on the image, but it, there's nothing I can do about it. Like, maybe this.
No, it's good. It's good.
Did they say, like, the size of the Mawashis for each wrestler, or...?
No, for each one, how long it is, I don't think... Like, they just say, on average, it's 6 to 7 meters, the long part, you know, on the image that I showed. It on the floor. Here, they say... well, it's 68 centimeters wide.
Yeah.
So, okay, so... It's 68 centimeters wide at the widest. Here are the ropes. The thin part is 62. The whole thing, well, the design part is only 33 centimeters that they have to play with in the actual design. In total, what is on the belly of the wrestler is about 75 centimeters, what it's showing, the actual color and then design. But I don't think it has, like... Oh, here's the image that I talked about. Like, so, like, his Daisho with his high school one, and then I think his Daido with his university one. And they say in the... Here, it says Nishinoryu instead of Daisho here. But, yeah, no, I think... Not for any specific... Some of them have good stories on them. Like, Teru no Fuji's black one. Like, the artist who did that one... not this one. It's Teru no Fuji's. This one. Like, the artist, he does, like, maybe, basically, is a vibe drawing, you know, like the modern art doesn't, it's supposed to convey a feeling, basically, of the, in the sketches. And what the artisan had to do, because it's, the artist did it in, I think, in paper.
Yeah.
And then they digitalized it, and then they, for the embroiderer who was actually making the sets, they put some laser over, like, so he could sew onto, like, the lines of the laser on the actual fabric to make it, because it's so complicated of a design to make. Like, I cannot, like, doing this twisty-turny one here, that would be that really hard.
So hard.
Oh, here, you can see it here.
Yeah.
It's on this one. But it's a really great book. It's really good. Like, I know why it's expensive. It's because of the printing, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. But it's deserving of that price.
It is deserving. I do agree. There is one that I saw in the I haven't gotten to these pages yet, so I'm just flickering with you guys. I'm gonna read it carefully later. There's one that I wanted to see if it says anything. Oh, look at this one.
Oh, that's Nagoya Castle? No, not Nagoya.
Oh, it's Hyogo... Himeji Castle. In Himeji, Hyogo Prefecture. It's for Masuyama. Is it the son or the dad? The dad. But, like, look at the colors in this one. It wasn't the one I wanted to show, but, like, you guys can see this one. Like,
it's looking gorgeous.
It's honestly a gorgeous green.
A lot of detail there.
It's beautiful. Like, the pine needles.
Yeah. The red is so brown. Well,
like, wow, it's amazing. Yeah. It's a beautiful one. But it was another
honestly,
one.
Honestly, the leaves kind of remind me a bit of, like, a Bob Ross painted.
Yeah. I love this very 90s one. Like, this is so 80s, 90s. For Waka no Hana.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the...
The waves are such...
It's so stylistic. It's so different.
Yeah.
It was... The third. The third Waka no Hana. The third Waka no Hana. The one that we saw on...
Yeah, the young one.
The one alive, I guess. Let's go by that. This is the
plant one.
Yeah, the one for the boat whirling.
Yeah.
I'm so happy they got this one, because I'm very curious about it, and they never show it anywhere. But, like, you can see, like, there's, like, little four jewels on it as well.
Yeah.
I think it's Fake Jewels. Doesn't say. But where is it? It was a one on I don't think I'll find it. Anyway, here's them showing them making the Shimekomi, the belts. Silk belts.
Nice.
Oh yeah, okay. So okay, I think we're getting close to it. What I wanted to show.
I always loved the Kisen no Sato ones.
Oh yeah, which one? Which one you wanted to? This one?
Oh yeah, yeah, all was good.
Fist of the North Star, I think it is.
Yeah.
It's very funny. I like this dude. The pose. So yeah, there's like Ono Sato and Hoshoryu in here. Mita as well. Mita and Nabatame, they're in here as well. The three Futagoyama guys. Like it's very
Kotosu earlier.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys here. There's with some profiles, but like, where is it? It was a book,
but I do wonder if they have just like an archive of the one Mawashi that like the first boat whirler ever wore.
Yeah, it's what I keep thinking about. Like, and they have the Somenuki designs, their kimono designs.
Oh, they always
talk about
it.
They look so. This Teru no Fuji one, like, oh my god.
Yeah,
he has very good.
Fuji's just a stylish motherfucker.
He has very good taste.
Yeah,
I like this one from Atami.
Some of these very old ones, and I'm sure just like in somebody's closet somewhere.
Exactly. Like I going back to the like all these treasures. Like I wonder where they are. You know, in the association. Look at this Tsurugisho one.
Yeah.
The carp.
They always look so damn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one thing artisans that I would love to find is anything that's like related to some sort of sumo wrestler, like Ikuzuki, one of those guys who I think had like gigantism back in the day, who was kind of like an attraction guy.
Yeah, just showing off the book now. Look at him.
Yeah, show off.
Show it off. I thought there was a page on Wakashimazu's ego Keshimashi, but I don't think there is. But basically, the story goes that basically the whole price of the Keshimashi, most of it is on the diamond in the claw of the ego. Like it's a ridiculously expensive one, and it's just so cool. This one was from his grandfather, by the way. This Koto Sakura one.
Ooh.
So it's his grandfather's Ozeki one, I believe. Very gorgeous.
Damn. That,
like a gold eagle on silver.
That Keshomawashi has to be so old.
It must be really old.
Like from the...
Yeah, here's his grandfather's Keshomawashi, it's saying there. But it's so well preserved. I like that about some Japanese stuff, that they do take really good care of it.
Yeah, there was Elnishki, I guess,
Yeah, Konishki. Oh yeah, 150 million yen Keshomawashi. And like this bird is holding like a massive diamond. Not a massive, but like a very expensive diamond. And I think it has another one in its eye. Something like that. And it's like crazy. And this one from Amnishki, which I do like, is Haute Couture embroidery, which is like a French style of embroidery. That one's out of. I have to say, I don't know how to say this.
Haute couture.
Haute couture. Which means?
embroidery. It's high. It's like high level.
Ah, high. Yeah. I see. High embroidery.
It's like, you know, what's the big brands, you know?
Yeah.
Top of the line.
I see. Well, there it is. That's my show and tell for the day. I'm sure the episode is going to be so boring. Because it's going to be just as going, oh, wow, that's gorgeous. Wow, that's so pretty. And then, like,
I mean, you could take, if you have the time, you could take, like, photos of it in your books and show it on screen at points with some of the important parts. I don't know.
Well, I could for the YouTube version. I could re-listen to the episode and then just, like, put in things we were talking about. But then again, I don't know if it's that plagiarism of the book, I guess. Who knows? I've never done anything like that. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
I wonder how they preserve some of those things. I heard, like, some of the things that are, like, well-preserved, it was because they were, like, buried in, like, this certain clay, I believe, some things.
Mmm. Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that was what I had to show this book.
And that was a great showing.
Yeah. Let me see who made it, because I looked at it, but I forgot. Let me see the credits.
Yeah, you should.
So it was by a thing called... Let's see. Publisher is Sumi. The company is called Two Virgins Company Limited.
Okay.
It's in cooperation with the GSA, obviously. Tamaura Hitoshi, Hasegawa Shoten, obviously, and some other corporations. The writing was done by Saito Naritoshi from the Hochi Shimbun, which is a newspaper, and Nagayama Satoshi, which is a sumo journalist.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the company seems to be called Two Virgins, and the illustrator for some of the drawn images is Inunko. But yeah, it's out of nowhere book done by these guys.
Yeah,
there's no like author really. It's just like it's a book made by this company. Who knows? But it's really cool. It's really cool.
So if you want to make a nice gift, since Christmas is approaching, if you want to make a nice sumo gift,
you have 10 months sumo to save up for it.
Sumo and Designs, great
sumo
book.
Sumo and Design. I'll get a link here.
It's not at Sumo Court. There's only 13 books left.
Oh so yes, for me, there's only 10 left. Oh, it's not that expensive.
It's 130 bucks.
Oh yeah, no, this is. What's the difference? Magazine and the soft cover. I don't know what the difference is. Between the soft cover and the magazine. Who knows?
Maybe the quality of the like the paper inch.
Maybe. I think I got the nice one. Because I did pay a lot for it. Anyway.
In France, it's like $132.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my cover is not hard though, so I don't know what's the difference. What's Tankobon? Let me search what's Tankobon. Oh, Tankobon is like literally a manga cover.
Oh.
So like mine probably is the magazine version. Yeah, that makes more sense.
All right.
So it's probably if you get the Tankobon. Probably less quality, it's probably like maybe even in black and white. Who knows? Anyway, here's the massive. I don't know why Amazon does such big links, but here you go.
Oh my goodness, yes, it is a massive link.
I don't know, they always do this. Yeah, it just say publisher Two Virgins.
The Tankobon is like $45.
Yeah, so I wonder what the difference is. But I'm glad I got this one because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, and the magazine is 137.
Mm-hmm.
My lord.
Yep. Hope you guys enjoy that. Very much a catch from a washi nerd, so.
Yeah, I mean, that looked great.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Well,
my picks are already aging poorly for our bar show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, your picks. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Bamboo's actually doing. I know he beat Kaku, but Shirobara is 3-1, so.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, only like Tenho is doing good. Itomi is getting rolled over. 1-4. I should have picked Itomi. I had a feeling.
I should have picked like Gembu, whatever.
I should have just picked right, you know.
To
what you guys are saying. Like, oh yes, I'll just pick right.
Yeah.
Which was,
yeah. And to be fair, Kai, Miyanoyama is 3-1.
Yes.
And there's like a bunch of matches that I have to log after this episode. I'm gonna log matches. And as I said before the start, Kitashoritsu, your chump, mm-hmm. has only fought one match. And I think it's the same for Yuki, Bunbun. I mean, Bunbun is 3-3, like middle. And who do we have as a chump? Shirobara. Shirobara is doing good, but the good thing with that, if they still have like two more fights to be mm-hmm. logged. So that might be 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go like 5-1, let's imagine that, they're gonna be promoted way high compared to what they would normally face. You know, to kind of like, that's what they do, the Banzuke, not the Banzuke, the Torikumi team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing well low, you get promoted a bit higher, a bit, you know, tougher opponents.
Yeah.
More chances for Shirobara to lose. But I want to win, so like I can have a chance. So it's still early. There's still like people who have not fought that much.
Yeah.
I mean, like Senshi got ready today, and the deadline is in 3 hours, 4 hours.
It's something that happens with anybody. I feel like where like they. The higher rank you go, the least likely you are to your matches in time.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Some people, I feel like, play on that. You know, like you did your 5 matches, you're tired, you already spend some focus points, and then
that
someone steps in. I don't know. It can be a play.
It is a play.
But that can be frustrating.
A little bit. Well, it happens. Happens to all of us.
Yeah. And like life happens, but
exactly.
What is life if you cannot play Rotu Yokozuna?
Well, welcome everybody. Thank you very much for everybody who came on today, and I'm very happy to have shown my book in this blind show and tell. But yes, this has been the episode. I was joined today by Tamano Sato.
Thank you very much.
And very, very knowledgeable Yuki Noshoma.
I'm not that knowledgeable.
Oh, you are. You know a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit sick today, but yeah, I had to like mute myself from coughing a lot.
That's fine. We didn't even notice, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, get better soon. And next episode, we have Banzuke time! Yes, it will be great. It will be very, very, very exciting. We have 2 weeks to... We have 3 weeks for Suna to start. And next episode, we will only be 2 weeks away from the start.
Nice. We all put Shishi at Yokozuna, right?
Yeah. Like the association's gonna be like, what have we been doing? His footwork? He is 5D match, like 5D chess us on this, you know?
Yeah. Honestly though, like the weird thing about Shishi is he actually has like super strong lower body strength, but he still walks like a toddler. I don't know.
It's so funny. He has massive legs and does not use them. Well, we'll this Shishi talk and much more on next week. See you guys.
Bye bye.